Your attention, please. Good evening and welcome to the second of our Columbia Imagined, a comprehensive plan for a sustainable community, public forums. My name is Tim Teddy. I'm employed by the City of Columbia as its planning director, and I'm going to deliver a presentation of 30 minutes or less to tell you about this plan, and then I'm going to turn it over to our meeting facilitators, and we'll spend about 60 minutes, and in no case go later than 8 o'clock with tonight's meeting. You all should have a small packet with an agenda on top that says Comprehensive Plan, Public Forum, and today's date. And there's some reading material in that, and there's also a light purple sheet that you should have that you're going to need, because we're going to ask you to write down some comments in a little while. And I'm also going to do some introductions. We have some folks that are closely involved with this process that I want to recognize in just a moment, so we'll get to that. But let me start by telling you why we're here tonight. We're here to learn what a comprehensive plan is, why we're preparing one, and how we propose to proceed with this effort. In other words, we're just getting started with making a new comprehensive plan for the City of Columbia. We want you to give us feedback on that process. Tell us how you want to be involved, and also tell us who you think who else should be involved. In other words, who would be valuable informants and recruits for this process. And let me say that we're just in the first phase of a six-phase process of making a city plan. And this phase we call What is the Plan, where we just really define what the plan's about and tell you what process we would like to do to proceed. So it's rolling out the plan. For those of you who may have come here to see an already completed plan or some ideas and how the city should grow and develop, that's not what this session is about, but we will get to that in due course as we go through what's going to be about a year-long process. This is our agenda. I want to spend just about 10 minutes with some general remarks on a comprehensive plan. Then another approximately 10 minutes giving you some background on Columbia Imagined. You know, how do we get to this point? And then describe what our consultant calls the plan for getting the plan done. We got to have some structure to this. They say you don't eat the elephant whole, you have it in small bites, and that's true of any large project, and a comprehensive plan for the whole city is a large project. And the biggest part of the meeting is actually where we hear from you. So we'll spend about 60 minutes with the questions for you on what you think of the process that you're about to see, how you want to be involved, etc. Introductions. According to the city code, the Planning and Zoning Commission prepares a comprehensive plan for the physical development of the city, and council appoints a 9-member Planning and Zoning Commission to do that and other things on alternate Thursday nights, sometimes more. Would the members of our Planning and Zoning Commission just stand quickly so you can be recognized? Thank you. Also assisting with this effort is a 15-member plus 2-county-member Comprehensive Plan Task Force that was created by resolution of the council. And they are working with the Planning and Zoning Commission on this effort. Would members of our task force please stand and be acknowledged? Okay, thank you. And these folks are going to be observing and listening to your discussions tonight, but they're not here to lead your discussions. They'll have a leadership role in the making of the plan, but for tonight we're not asking you to look at them as your discussion leaders. Just want to make that clear. And then I brought my planning staff, so would you raise your hands? You're already standing, most of you. Thank you. They've been providing great assistance putting this together for us. We have a University of Missouri team of consultants. Dr. Steve Janetta, Larry Dickerson to his left in the yellow, their intern Jamie Christensen, and they are part of a larger team that's assisting us with public education and outreach and the plan. Not only that, but as we get farther into the plan, doing some analytical work for us as well that you'll see as we get into the later phases of making this plan. Also want you to know that we invited some stakeholders. These would be individuals associated with organizations that are typically involved in civic affairs, nonprofits, business organizations, trade organizations, other governmental institutions. So we sent out a number of letters to let people know about the meeting last month and then tonight's meeting. But also want you to know that the general public is invited and welcome. You need not have received an invitation. Just want you to know, though, that we try to reach out to specific individuals to get them involved in this process, but everyone is welcome. What is a comprehensive plan? If I may, I'll just describe for you a little bit about what we mean by a plan. And you know, you're in a little bit of trouble when you start with the law, but that's probably a safe place to start. It's an authority anyway. City code defines it as a plan for the physical development of the city and uses of land in the city. As we look at the land use plan from the mid-1960s that the city prepared. And you can see, if you recognize any of the geography in that image, you can tell that things have changed since 1966 quite a bit. The plan may include general location and character of land use districts, streets, parks, utilities, and other public places, and redevelopment areas. So that's kind of the focus, is on the land and qualities of the land, but also the improvements that both public and private sectors put upon the land. And of course, there's a lot of implications that go along with that. The Missouri statutes also define comprehensive plans as something that cities ought to do, and they include recommendations for the physical development and uses of land. So you might refer to it alternatively as a comprehensive land use plan or a comprehensive development plan. Some communities call them master plans. In fact, Boone County calls their comprehensive plan the Boone County Master Plan. We avoid that terminology because we have a lot of utility system master plans that are more specific plans, so we shy away from that term, but you'll see it. And some just call them general plan or city plan. Once again, general character and extent of streets and other public ways, grounds, places, and spaces, public utilities and terminals. Statute uses similar language to the city code in describing what a comp plan consists of. In terms of how it should be prepared, the state statute says that the Planning and Zoning Commission ought to make careful and comprehensive surveys and studies of the existing conditions and probable future growth of the municipality. In other words, the content of our plans has to be related to the way we believe our city is going to grow or need to grow or the way it's going to need to change. If it's not in a particular growth situation. It has to be based on some data, not on just wishful thinking. And they're done with the general purpose of guiding and accomplishing a coordinated development of the municipality to promote the general welfare as well as efficiency and economy in the process of development. So we're going to use your input to define what things like the general welfare are. You know, what is the general welfare that we're trying to promote and protect? Yeah. The Comprehensive Plan Task Force and Planning and Zoning Commission, in doing their work over the past year, has sampled a number of other communities' plans, and we can make these plans available to you via web links. It's a good way to see how other cities have finished plans and what they do for them. These are just how some other places define a comprehensive plan. And Fayetteville, Arkansas, for example, they put emphasis on the plan as being criteria for effective decision making and based on widespread public participation. Greensboro, North Carolina views a comprehensive plan as having multiple parts. a reflection of citizens' values and aspirations and shared vision, a guide for managing change, the foundation for policies, strategies, and actions, and a to-do list. You know, usually there's an element of program in a comprehensive plan where we list the kinds of things we need to get done to make the goals real. The comprehensive plan is a policy guide which describes in text and displays in graphics a community's vision for directing future land development. We will admit that Lawrence, Kansas does have a plan, so that's worth looking at. And then Sioux Falls, South Dakota, states that a comprehensive plan develops policies that will help guide future ordinances, budgets, and master plans. A comprehensive plan guides future land development. So hopefully you're getting a little bit of a sense of what we mean. I know it still can be a little nebulous to those of you who are not accustomed to doing plans for whole cities, but this is how we're kind of tentatively defining the Columbia Imagined effort. It'll be a general plan with goals, objectives, and policies, maps and graphics that provide a common reference for citizens and decision makers on the desired future growth and development of the city. So it'll set a direction, and it'll produce some goals and objectives and policies, perhaps strategies for getting there. Well, how did we get to this point? Just let me give you a brief timeline of how we came to launch this process in April. I'll go back to October 2001. That's when the last comprehensive plan was approved by the City Council. And we do have a current comprehensive plan. It's called Metro 2020. We don't refer to it probably as often as we should. It was developed probably in a different way than this planning effort is developing this plan. But that is what we've got right now, and that's what will be replaced by Columbia Imagined. In 2006, going through to the present, the city did Imagine Columbia's Future, a visioning effort. Visioning is definitely related to a comprehensive plan. In fact, it changed probably the way this city has done planning in that it really immersed the city in public input, involved a lot of citizens in that. And of course, a lot of recommendations that came out of the vision effort do relate to the comprehensive plan, including one in particular that I'll cite a little later. May 2009, the council passed a resolution that authorized a new plan to happen. Also, the creation of a task force to assist the Planning and Zoning Commission. That was not appointed, though, until the end of the year. So in December 2009, we had our membership for the task force, organized that body, as well as geared up the Planning and Zoning Commission to work with them in about March. And then now here a year later, the task force and the Planning and Zoning Commission have really completed a phase of what we might call organizing the plan, you know, deciding what it is we want to do, how we want to do the comprehensive plan. In April 2011, we approved a contract with the University of Missouri team to assist us, give us technical assistance. And that was also a big part of the work over the past year, was recruitment of them as a consultant. Just last month, we had our first public forum. And once again, I'll say that tonight is somewhat of a rebroadcast or rerun of that meeting. We have the same presentation. So if you were here last time and you're expecting something altogether different, I won't be offended if you want to sneak out now. But we are going to add some new material at the end. We're going to report out what we heard since that meeting and share with you some of the comments. And Dr. Ginetta and Mr. Dickerson are going to also present some new public involvement ideas. So a little bit of new material. But this is mainly an occasion to allow folks that couldn't make the April meeting to participate tonight. This is what we mean by organizing the plan. These are some of the tasks that have been completed. The Comprehensive Task Force in particular has been reviewing existing conditions. They've been doing a year-long series of public forums with guest speakers talking about how planning is done currently, not only in the city, but in the region. Mr. Yonke is here tonight from Boone County, spoke about how the county does planning and zoning. We had Columbia Public Schools. We had the READY organization, along with the university economic development folks, talk about those efforts, and a lot more of the topics of the comprehensive plan, but focused on the status quo, you know, what we're doing today. They've selected Columbia Imagined as the brand for the plan. Comprehensive plan is a little dull. We want something that's a memorable name, and in this case, it also ties to the visioning effort. They've prepared a visioning goals and strategies document. We have for you, if you need it, something that indexes all of the vision statements, goals, and strategies from Imagine Columbia's future that are pertinent to a comprehensive plan. Think of it as another source of data you might refer to as you give your input. They've reviewed plans of selected cities. I've mentioned this before. There are 12 in particular that they went through. And we've established 13 goals for the plan effort, not for the content of the plan, because again, that's something we're going to ask you to do with us, but goals on what we want this plan to do for Columbia. So I'm going to spend some time going through that, if you don't mind. And they've developed 7 elements and assigned work teams to those 7 elements. The elements are themes. They may become chapters in the final plan. We don't know, but for now, it's kind of our organizational framework of topics that we're going to look at. And they are overlapping and cross-cutting, I think you'll see. And they've developed the phases and schedule for the plan. If you refer to one of your handouts, the one that has the color graphic in the right-hand column, that describes the approximate dates that we expect to be moving through each of the 6 phases. How does this relate to visioning? I'll just point out one thing. There's a lot in the visioning document that's relevant. But one of the citizen topic groups did develop a vision statement for Columbia, and I'll just read the highlighted text here. The desire is that our community accomplishes these ends through an open, inclusive, transparent, predictable, and accountable planning process with a fair allocation of costs. The citizens have told us that they expect everything we do to be open. They want it to be predictable. They want it to be inclusive of a broad base of our residents and property and business owners and probably even visitors and visiting students. And they want it to be accountable in the end. So that is going to be a guiding piece for our efforts. I would say the goal is to maintain continuity with the visioning document, but also welcome new views and perspectives. In other words, if you, for one reason or another, we're unable to participate in visioning. You arrive late to the community. Don't feel that you're left out. Your input is still very valuable to us, and your perspectives, even if different from what was written in Imagine Columbia's Future, I think will be included. There are a baker's dozen. That means 13 goals for getting the plan or goals for the plan. And I'll just go through these one at a time, but quickly. First of all, the commission and task force desire that this be a framework for shaping and managing growth. And a number of communities have what are termed growth management plans. And the visioning document, in fact, says develop a growth management plan. There we look at an example graphic from Sioux Falls where it's a tiered system of priority areas where growth will occur. It is supported by current and accurate data. We don't develop plans in a vacuum, as I said. You know, we analyze some statistics. We analyze data that comes from you on what you think is important in the city. And we look at how the city's growing and changing and try to right-size a plan according to those data. Incorporates best practices in planning and sustainability. And we see how a number of plans from around the country, like Troy, Michigan, have gotten into planning for wise energy use. How Fayetteville, Arkansas, relates several different themes, but focuses on equity and opportunity. And how same city also, I beg your pardon, this is Portland, Oregon, and how Fayetteville, Arkansas has developed street standards for difficult terrain. The plan will address key issues that link growth and development policy to other plans and infrastructure, and the City of Buffalo, New York plan has descriptive text doing that. We want it to include implementation measures and strategies. A plan really has no life. If you finish it and you can have very good, sound goals and objectives, great ideas, but unless you have a program that goes with it, call it an implementation schedule or call it a program for getting the plan done, it will not succeed. So it's very common these days to have some kind of a schedule. Oftentimes it's a, Oftentimes it is done as a matrix where it has dates, it has, you know, who is the lead agency, and then it has a description of the task. Or it might be just laying out, here's the to-do list, as Troy, Michigan has done here. But that's something we expect our plan to have. And that can help us make the plan accountable, too. It's a framework for more detailed plans. Boulder, Colorado has such a framework. They have a number of smaller area plans incorporated within their comprehensive plan document. These are areas that they feel need additional attention, more detailed attention. Madison, Wisconsin has a plan exhibit for what they regard as the most promising infill sites, meaning land areas that could be developed in a manner such that pushes development towards existing communities and community infrastructure that already exists. We want it to be a compelling and engaging story about the future. We want people to want to read this thing. You know, it's not just a technical document that me and my staff find useful in doing our job, but we want the general public to actually want to check it out from the library or have their own copy of it. We want to recognize how Columbia's history has shaped its identity. And here we see Fayetteville, Arkansas has got a chapter on its community context that includes a look at its history and images of some of the buildings that are of great importance to them. We want to be clear, simple, visually attractive, and easy to use. Again, along that theme, we don't want to be a dry technical document. We want you to find it useful for the kind of things that you want to know about how the city is growing and changing. We want to include a mechanism for review, updates, and amendments. Again, a plan's not successful unless you revisit it every once in a while and ask, well, what's working in the plan and what's not working? And then maybe have some benchmarks that you can use to measure success, and then procedures where you report on its effectiveness and look at what might need to be changed in the plan. Here's Portland, Oregon, demonstrating that, beg your pardon, here I go again, can't get that red key, Portland, Oregon showing how it had changed since one of its earlier planning efforts. Want to focus on physical and economic aspects of the city as well as social issues. Raleigh, North Carolina, they put sustainability at the point where the economic, the social, and the environmental all overlap. And they have all those themes overlapping with the other, but all coming together under the theme of sustainability. So we're going to organize ours in a similar fashion. Want to be a product of community conversation and outreach. Austin, Texas has multiple ways to follow the progress of its plan, which is in progress, multiple ways to make yourself heard, and we're going to hear a little bit more about that from our MU consultants when I'm done. Integrates regional planning efforts. You don't just look at what's within the city limits. We look at our relationship to Boone County and the wider region and how we affect them and it affects us. Here's seven elements, and again, this is an organizational framework, and these titles may change through the process, but these are the seven elements that the task force and commission has developed to date. First of all, our plan will look at livable and sustainable communities. To be successful, neighborhoods have to be livable, cities, districts have to be livable. We want our city to be sustainable. We want the next generation to enjoy the same benefits of living in the city environment as we have. Mobility, connectivity, and accessibility, mostly about transportation, but perhaps could be access to communications networks as well. Intergovernmental cooperation, we need to engage with the school district, with the county government, with the various special purpose districts that we have that overlap our area. That's a very important theme. Infrastructure, this is roads, sewers, water supply, stormwater management, parks and recreation spaces, public safety facilities, that's all part of the infrastructure theme. Environmental management, the natural resources that we hold dear and how we manage them. Economic development, how we create wealth in the community, how we create prosperity, how we sustain it. And land use and growth management. And all these overlap. If you're interested primarily in economic development, naturally you're also interested in infrastructure. You're interested in sources of energy, road access. You're interested in land use, the sites that are being allocated to growth. You're interested in the transportation system. If you're interested in livable and sustainable communities, you're interested in environmental management to some degree too. So there'll be these overlaps. And these are not silos, as I think one of our commentators on April 19 suggested, or suggested we avoid. Here's the six phases. What is the plan? We just want to introduce you to this effort, get your immediate feedback. Then we're going to move into a phase we call who are we? Let's define the community statistically, trends, patterns, values, things that you feel are uniquely Columbia. What do we care about? That's where we get into kind of an inventory of what are the issues. What are the things that are on your mind? What problems need to be solved? What opportunities need to be capitalized on? Then we'll get into a phase of where do we want to go? This means the goal setting. Okay, what's going to be our direction? What do we need to do now? In terms of goals, mapping the future, that kind of thing. So we get around to things like land use mapping when we get into this phase four. We're not going to talk a lot about it other than descriptive before we get to phase four. How do we get there? That's again that program element or implementation part of it. Who does what to make the plan real, to carry it out? And then there'll be a final stage, which is the approval and adoption of the plan. To become official, a plan has to be approved by the Planning and Zoning Commission. And then after recommendation to the City Council have to approve it by ordinance. This is what the phases look like in a more diagrammatic form. We have this on our website. And we are building a new website, by the way, for the plan project. So you'll be able to go to columbiaimagine.com to get information about this. And we should have the web link where you can get this chart and other information about the plan process, as well as sign up for social media or listservs and other ways to participate. That should be in your handouts. But these are the six phases again. And it's a process, one building upon the other. Okay, so we educate you on what the plan is. That's mostly us giving you information, but you also give us feedback on whether you think we're all wet or whether you think we're on the right track, and then offer your suggestions on how we can maybe do some things a little bit differently. The who are we, you know, that's the community inventory, and that's getting to getting to a data-driven plan that we said was one of our goals. The what do we care about is, you know, what's important to you? What do you think has to be addressed in this community right now? And then where we are headed, again, we're making this policy framework part of the plan. And that's going to draw on the issues and the existing who are we data in making some sort of direction for the plan. And then the how do we get there, that's when we look at what all the goals are And we say, well, what's it going to take? What's it going to cost? What do we have in the way of resources to make this happen? And we start scheduling some things. And then finally, the plan approval shown on there again. So just wanted to repeat that a little bit. All right, at this point, I've taken up about exactly a half hour. And it's time for me to stop speaking. I'll introduce or reintroduce Stephen Janetta and Larry Dickerson. And they're going to come up and they're going to help you through the dialogue process and give you some instructions here on answering these three questions. Steve?
We have to use the microphone, huh, for the TV thing. I'm Steve Janetta. I work in the Community Development Extension Program and in the Rural Sociology Department at MU. And Larry Dickerson is also a Community Development Specialist here in Boone County. And what we want to do is kind of get your a sense of what your perceptions are of the planning process as Tim kind of talked about it and defined it tonight. And we want to give you a chance to talk about it amongst yourselves, and then we'll kind of process it as a whole group. The first thing we want you to do is spend a little bit of time kind of thinking about it yourself. So on the purple form is the last page, I think, in your handout. Take a couple minutes and just kind of write down a couple of your immediate ideas about how you'd like to answer those particular questions. Let's go ahead and start hearing from each other a little bit in terms of your perspectives on these questions. So does anybody want to start in terms of sharing what they think of as their of the approach to the planning process that we've kind of worked on?
I was elected representative here by default, I think. The views around the table expressed that this was a long time coming, and we still have a long way to go. There was concern about what kind of teeth it will have when it's all done. It was a statement that it does appear to be public-driven rather than expert-driven, and there was some appreciation of that. Concern that we not reinvent the wheel because the vision's already been done. And so that should be always the touchstone. And there was concern that too much public input can be an impediment. So,
yeah, public can slow things down, but it can also speed things up as well. So.
I think we got some good questions. We sort of answered them all in a way, different way. First, we're interested in how other groups that are underrepresented could become involved. We also think that the public that has been involved in the past has not been involved enough. They've ignored things, or they've tried to influence the development too much.
It was the development community.
I didn't get that.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean the developers, other words.
Yeah.
The development community means developers.
Yes.
Okay.
That sometimes they're not involved.
I didn't get that.
And then they kind of come in. And,
oh, yeah.
Or else mess. They try and, not all of them. I had a really good experience with the developers I work with envisioning. I just want to say that.
Okay, good. And then we should be learning about what other cities have done, what works, and what can be replicated here. And we should also get more time to see what didn't work. Mm-hmm. We also need an ordinance with teeth in it that requires a review that allows updating every 6 months. Okay? And we also need a way of allocating costs and benefits fairly. And finally, we have to include working on a way of giving people an interest in conserving energy that we can all get behind. And I may add with that a group is forming, so there's an open welcome for anybody who's interested in. It's more or less following scientists' recommendation to conserve. And but people have to have an interest in it, because you can conserve and then the other guy can be a hog. So we have to remember to work on that.
Great, thanks. One of the other tables?
Long, but I just want to say, as far as the approach to the plan, I think everybody had, appreciated the interaction. They wanted to make sure that we kept it simple. You know, a lot of folks that are here, I think, or have been involved somewhat with this kind of stuff before. So if we're reaching out to other groups and whatnot, that, you know, so we really need to kind of keep it simple there. It was also pointed out that we understand the use of example cities, but this is our city, not those cities. So, you know, not to carte blanche copy or something like that, take into consideration. And there's also worries about voices being heard, individual or group voices, and being implemented in the plan. So those were our topics.
And what were your concerns about the voices? Just getting the voices included, or?
I guess, or getting them heard and followed, I guess, more than anything. I'd say, we're not happy with this, and then it not get addressed at all, or just feelings that groups have brought concerns to the city, and they feel like they've been ignored, so.
Sure.
Since I was the one that had that concern.
Sure.
My concern is on the City of Columbia's comprehensive plan for upzoning in residential neighborhoods, and that neighborhood associations have been formed and they've been coming to the city and saying that they're objectionable to certain things. And my question is, are they listening to what we're saying? I mean, I was born in Columbia, I've lived here all my life. I have three other friends that live in Columbia, and all four of us are fighting the same things within our city, upzoning within our residential neighborhoods. We've lived here all our life. We chose our communities because we wanted to live there, and have a certain way of life. And now the City of Columbia is coming in with their infill upzoning plans and coming into our neighborhoods. And I feel that sometimes they're not listening to what we're having to say. I'm not talking about me personally. I'm talking about communities, neighborhoods. And I would like to see that addressed.
Okay, great.
Can I
yep.
ask something,
yes, sir.
It's on the positive. I just want to, real briefly, all the stakeholders aren't represented here. And a way of doing so is to think outside the box. So sometimes we need to take meetings and forums to our community members through identifying key stakeholders, gatekeepers, and they can present that message and then report those findings as well.
Yeah, you're kind of stealing our thunder a little bit, but yeah.
Sam,
yeah. Okay. Somebody else?
Actually, he has a good idea of thinking outside the box.
Go ahead. You wrote all of them.
Okay. Thinking outside the box, you'll like this one. The suggestion was made to give it to the kids and have them take it home as a work study to get their parents involved. So that's one way of thinking outside the box. In our group, we did talk about diversity of voices, and I love that term, but it was pretty important for us to involve everybody in the development of the plan. And then the plan needs to provide land use planning for the developers so that they know what to put in with the development, like sidewalks, green space, lighting, streets, that type of thing. But I'm sure there are more that I'm leaving out here, so I'm going to kind of pass it around.
Yeah, my input has always been that we need to get the real estate community involved right from the word go. I'm a real estate broker. So my job has always been to sell something or help somebody buy something. And when realtors are not involved right from the beginning, then we always run into this problem of having to go to the city, and every time somebody will be told to reduce something because either the environmental stuff is not, being there. So when realtors, developers, and everybody else, including the legal professionals, are involved in this early stage of the comprehensive plan, And I think it will give our city a better chance of not being, you know, fighting off people that will come along the way, because we have already anticipated what their move will be.
Okay. Other things you think that haven't been raised yet? Okay.
I think that one of the things we talked about was that this was the first time that I had actually seen the presentation, but it seems comprehensive and inclusive, but it's also overwhelming. Mm-hmm. There is so much there that it's hard to get your head around. There's so much in the presentation, and if the other thing we talked about was trying to get more public involved. I think Shelley was talking about trying to get 3,000 people involved in this. I think that would be, well, I guess the getting down to the kind of the, if there's a way to simplify and focus this on maybe a smaller piece instead of trying to put your arms around the whole thing to begin with, what's the most important thing, and breaking it down into a very small piece that's easy for the general public to get their arms around. I'm an architect and planner at MU, and this was confusing to me. So you get somebody off the street, and those are the people that need to be involved, I think, as the general public, to get them involved in this. But when they see this, I think they're not going to understand, and it's going to be very hard for them to grasp what's needed. So I guess that was our basic comments.
I just have need to invest in wireless. Oh.
No, now that I know this group that we were talking about is developers, that they're not involved either enough or they've tried to influence things, now I'm wondering, why are developers connected with this group? Wouldn't that be a conflict of interest?
No, I mean,
the whole process, got a whole lot of money.
Everybody's
is
perspective engaged in the development of the plan. So
I said that again.
I think the goal is to get as many different perspectives engaged in the development of the plan, and the developers are an important piece of that.
Not necessarily.
Yeah. Excuse me?
I wouldn't say that it's a conflict of interest, because we need the developers for bringing in the types of businesses that we want here, and they are the ones who are going to stick their neck out and do some things, but our comprehensive plan will help control the types of businesses that we want in our community, but we need. No, that's what this process is about. We're having the groundwork, and we want all stakeholders involved, because that's what a comprehensive plan is about. I mean,
it's available, so we'll make sure it's on there so you can see the list. That'll give folks a thing to react to. They see that there's an organization that's not there, or a lack of representation there. We can accept that comment and build that list as we go. So yeah, we'll make sure that's by letter. It's between 150 and 200 by all by letter. Well, some of those are duplicates, though, different individuals within the same organization. We do have a listserv for the comprehensive plan, so anyone who wants to register for that, please do so, and then you'll get the agendas of all the meetings and notices of other types of events and announcements. Mm-hmm. And we do have the Facebook now activated. So, and these guys are going to talk about how you can get involved, actually, so we're going to segue into that momentarily.
I was just going to say, that's what we got coming up next from research that we've done with Jamie's work, and we looked at other communities' outreach plans and comments we have that we'll share with you in a minute. But we're going to, I think you bring in great comments and great questions, but our job is to get as many people who want to be involved the opportunity to do that. And so your comments are well taken, and we're going to share with you some of the things that we've initially designed. That doesn't mean we're stopping there. But we've got some things that we're going to share with you as ways to really people, the general public, and any organization to get involved. Steve, do we want to move on to that?
Sure. Part of this is the April 19th and tonight is really just the first step in figuring out how you get people involved. We're looking at, over the next few weeks, having a series of meetings or a series of opportunities for people to learn more about the process and think through the questions you just had a chance to think through this evening for themselves and to provide their input into it as we move forward in terms of thinking about how we engage people in the different steps of the process. And your point is important in terms of how people are able to grasp and understand that. And that's one of the reasons why we broke it down into six pieces so that folks can really just focus on the piece that we're working on now and not worry so much about what's coming down the road. Although a lot of people want to know the whole thing before, you know, they want to know the end before they start the beginning. And so you have to have some balance in that. And we're putting together, it's almost done, kind of a community involvement kit, I guess is where we're at with what we're calling that now. And essentially, it's anybody that has an interest in this or knows of a group that they think should hear some of this or should participate in this. We have basically, it's a kit that's going to include a video of tonight's presentation. We'll link to it. But you don't have to use that. It's a 30-minute track. But there will be a 10-minute, more simplified version of the presentation Tim gave. Not as much of the detail, but focusing more on the general purpose of the planning and kind of how we're structuring it and organizing it and thinking about how people can connect to it. And then there'll be a 10-minute video of that, Tim making that presentation as well. So if you want to use it with a small group or if you want to make a presentation yourself to a group that you're part of, we'll have the resources for you to do that. There'll be a script for the presentation, kind of a sign-in sheet so you can keep track of who's participating. One of the ways we learn from this is by figuring out who's there and their perspective so we can start to better understand who we're hearing from so we know who else we need to try to connect to. A questionnaire, the questions that you've just done, we want to compile as much of that as we can and kind of think about, you know, what are some of the areas of real importance in terms of things that we have to address that we haven't really kind of thought about yet. Because we got good ideas on the 19th. We have some more tonight. And the more broader we get in terms of who we connect to and how we get them involved, the better the process is going to reflect the values of the people that are in this community. We'll have an information sheet. I think it's in the little one or two page information on the planning process, and then instructions on how to use the materials to engage with the folks in your group or organization. There'll be a couple of different ways to do that. One is you could do it yourself. You can get the materials and make a presentation to yourself and in a group you want. We just want it to be connected to the rest of the work that we're doing. So as long as it gets back to us, either in paper form or through the Facebook site or through the website, or you could call the planning department and just kind of share your ideas with them, and they'll help you get that into our database. Really kind of whatever people are comfortable with. I mean, some are real comfortable with the technology, some want to do things in person. We want to be able to accommodate as much of that as we can. Another way to do it would be to make a presentation yourself. You could contact the planning department. They'll send somebody out to do a presentation. And then we can also do training for people that are interested in going out and doing some of this work in the community. So particularly in this initial period, you know, we had about 80, 100 people at the first meeting, another 30 or 40 tonight. We're a long way from 3,000 yet. So we need to be creative in terms of how we connect to them, and we want to connect to as many people as we can.
You want to talk a little bit about
Any questions about that? And one thing, there'll be a different sort of a different script and stuff for each phases of the plan. So the first one will be those three questions that you got tonight to go out to folks. The other thing is, we also, as we said, we want to make as many ways for people to participate and have the opportunity to participate as possible. The community involvement kit is one, and Steve talked about, you can host a program at your service club or in your neighborhood. As he said, do it yourself, we'll train you, or we'll bring somebody out from the task force or planning and zoning commission. Will sort of have a pool of folks that will be able to come out and do a presentation on this for you. We're going to have regularly scheduled meetings and forums, both neighborhoods. Those that don't know, I work a lot with the city on the neighborhood leadership program and capacity building for neighborhoods. We partner with the city on that. And so we're going to have meetings in each ward. We're not sure exactly how many yet, and contact all the neighborhood associations. So that's one way we'll do this, is geographically. The other is with associative groups, be it developers or the churches that we heard or whatever, any group that says we'd like to have, you know, we don't have an infinite number of meetings, but key groups to come and say, we really want you to talk to our group. We may be a civic club, or we may be, you know, a certain church group or whatever. So we're going to schedule regular meetings and forums that will focus on those seven areas and the different phases of the plans. So there'll be both regularly scheduled meetings in geographic areas around the city and with different interest and associative groups. Visiting with your neighbors and friends. There's going to be a lot of ways to give us input. Facebook, Twitter, a website. There's going to be a lot of ways, or you can get printouts and take piece of paper and drop it off at the planning and zoning department. So we're going to give a lot of ways, both individually, small group, in larger groups. We're going to give folks ways to participate that you're comfortable with. There'll be some ways to do it anonymously if you don't feel like putting your name on it. You want to get a piece of paper and write your comments and concerns, or if you do want to say, we're representing, you know, 50 people in our neighborhood or 50 people from our specific associative group or organization. So there's going to be a lot of ways to do that. Jamie's putting together a lot of social media tools, and one of the things we looked at, because we heard last time, do your research. We looked at some of the other communities and how they did outreach and different tools they have. Request a guest speaker. Once again, you may want to have somebody, as you said, this is a little complicated. Would you come out and talk to us some more in depth about it? Maybe the video or the PowerPoint isn't enough. As I said, send a letter, you know, a lot of different ways to do that. We're working on going to try to partner with the library, something we haven't started yet, but we're looking at trying to have the kits and maybe work with the library on their computers so folks can go into the library and participate. That's one we heard last time that we're starting to investigate. So this isn't the end-all list. It's just some things we're trying to figure out, ways that people have an opportunity to participate in a way that's comfortable from them, either individually, small groups, geographically, larger groups. So we're really looking at a variety of ways to do that. Comments or questions? Yes, of the slides.
We can make copies for you. This will be on our website. But we can make copies for you if you don't use the web. Yeah. We didn't print copies for tonight to answer your question, but it was just inserted into the slideshow. But I think it's a valuable list.
Good. Yes, sir. Well, for $24, the Voluntary Action Center has a list of all the community organizations you can get from Cindy Mustard. That's, you know, that's something they sell and as a fundraiser. I'm sure the phone book has some. I don't know, Tim, what your office has, but I know the probably the most comprehensive one is what Cindy puts together with the Voluntary Action Center. Yeah. Other comments or questions? Yes, John.
Comprehensive plans, is this a five-year planning horizon, a 15 or a 30? I mean, it's that kind of, is that the, if it's 5 years, it's just a strategic plan, I'm not terribly interested. But is it really like a 20-year perspective? Or has that already been decided? And then I have a follow-up.
Generally, plans look forward
about 20
years.
Okay, that's what I was looking for. Well, I'm thinking about what a comprehensive plan is as opposed to what novices think it should be right now. I'm looking for that because this is not a thing that we're defining. Well, my other question is that actually what I get out of this is people are very confused at the beginning because what a plan is undefined and unclear, and then also kind of the end result. And so what I would suggest in your kit, and by the way, don't refer me to the web, please. I like the web and so forth, but you have printers that can print out copies of these plans 100 times faster than I can. And I'm not going to spend 20 hours playing. But for each of these meetings, I would recommend that you send three booklets with all of the 12 plans that Bonnie and her group looked at and invite people to come early and look through the booklets. The introduction for a little bit here was really helpful. But to have it sink in more and be more available, actually that would be a way that all the organization work that Bonnie's committee did, they can get an idea. They'll be able to see a little bit about the variation, a lot about, they'll see that these things aren't 7 inches thick, all of that kind of stuff. So I would make part of the kit from the get-go those kind of things because it helps remove that confusion, undefined thing at the beginning. And also it gives people an idea of, oh my goodness, it could look like this at the end. So it's like defining in a certain sense the concept at the beginning of the end, and it might reduce a lot of the, I'm not sure about this, I'm not sure.
That's my two thoughts.
Thanks, John.
I think when the question was asked, where can we get a list of civic organizations, that will be on the computer, right?
Yeah, we can indicate who we have as a notification list. We're not pretending that it's a complete list of all the organizations that need to be there. But the idea of putting it up there would be allow people to suggest then who else ought to be added to that list.
Instead of the $23, they can go to the...
As part of the background work for this, are you going to look at the previous plans Columbia has produced and how well we have followed those plans and what interfered with our following those plans?
Well, I think it's an interesting suggestion regarding doing the history of planning in Columbia. Yes. Usually that's done in a summary fashion, and up till now, from a staff perspective, that's probably the most we would do. What you're suggesting, where we analyze each plan and deviations from it, you know, to the extent it adds value to the process, you know, someone might want to attempt that. I don't think that's going to be in our preparation, but I think we want to make those plans available. And at a neighborhood forum some months ago, I had a suggestion that we actually digitize the oldest city plan, which is the 1935 plan, make that available to people. They can kind of see for themselves what kind of future it had mapped out, and I think those familiar with our geography will be able to notice the differences. You know, where, for example, the roadway that was, I think we had a slide of it tonight, where there's a parkway, meaning a major roadway shown around Southwest Columbia, probably the precursor of Stadium Boulevard, but the design that was imagined and the alignment were different. I mean, the city pushed out farther west than that plan envisioned. So is that the kind of deviation you're thinking of, or?
Yeah. Did the economy interfere with implementation of the plan, or how conscientious was the were the representatives of Columbia in adhering to the plan?
Yeah. I don't know if it's something we're qualified to take on, and I don't know if it would fit the time and resources we have available. But like I say, we'll do a summary of those previous plans. Ms. Simon?
Bob had suggested that we take a look at not just successful city planning, which the 12 cities that we looked at had looked at that type of approach, but if we find a city that did some specifically poor planning and what happened to them, and we talked about maybe some cities that could be, and then if we contrast those two things, we might reach more people through the what's in it for me. Well, what's in it for you? We could have a community that looks like this if we don't do good planning this time, and we want your voice, everyone's voice. So I thought that was a good suggestion from Bob.
Good ideas.
I was just thinking that we have a university with a planning department and students always looking for projects and thesis and such, and that history and whether or not it was effective of planning sounds like a thesis project to me.
Yeah, Jamie just did it. Yeah. Any other comments? Do you want to see some of what the group shared with us on the 19th?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
I won't keep you very long here, but and by the way, thank you for all of your comments. Listening to it, I put it in the category of constructive criticism, which is exactly what we're after. You know, we're not here fishing for compliments. We want to hear your suggestions on how we can make this process work and work better. The first question, what do you think of this approach? These are some of the responses. Can you all see that? Can you read that print size? You know, more outreach, you know, more advertising, more neighborhood meetings, taking it to the people away from City Hall as far as location. That was a common theme. Kind of going to the confusion, again, folks then thought we needed better definitions. We need a better description of what the plan is, why it is important, you know, kind of getting to those case study suggestions. What are the consequences of not planning? That came up. Need more diversity in the participants, more people of color, and also presenting and leading discussions. We need to make online and social media access for those that can't attend these public forums or just prefer that kind of participation. Go to all the wards, make sure we get even geographic representation. Define what we expect as the tangible results. We did express some goals. And I think I'd say that I think those are measurable goals, too. We can ask you during the process if you think we're making progress towards meeting those 13 goals that we set for this. You know, while we're talking and planning now, we got the comment that I frankly was expected. You know, why are we going through another round of planning? Well, we also do a lot of building, and we do a lot of doing, as well as doing a lot of planning, and I think there's still a need to coordinate all of it. That's kind of the answer there. At least one person thought issues of substance when we get into discussions of land use, roads, housing, utilities, natural resources, those kind of things, that's really going to get people engaged, that looking at more of the schedule, that wasn't really grabbing them just yet. But that's kind of a summary of the answers we got on what do you think of this approach. How do you want to be involved? One individual, saying that they'd be comfortable when information is presented to lower income residents. I don't know if that was a comment. They would only be comfortable then when they were assured we were being inclusive of persons of lower income. A lot of people said they wanted to join the listserv, attend public forums, and simply stay informed about the process. One individual wanted to join the task force. We do have an opening. There was some suggestion about identifying green belts for preservation and agricultural land that would be preserved either for or from intensive development, identifying infill sites. This is kind of getting into a later stage in the planning when we start to ask for specific ideas. Nothing wrong with that. I heard a few comments tonight that kind of go to issues that you raised, and that'll be part of the what we care about phase. Get buy-in from city staff, need county involvement. So, are the influential people within the city government really backing this process that was expressed. More surveys about real issues and substantive topics. One person endorsed the vision process where people somewhat self-selected topics they were interested in. And then who else should be involved? This is kind of a list of suggestions made on April 19th, and then a few afterwards using our SurveyMonkey survey. Anybody's a citizen of Columbia. Housing Authority of Columbia, we delivered. Brought Mr. Steinhaus here. Church groups, faith community, citizens from model cities, and that, again, we heard some comments in that vein tonight. People kind of interested in what we can learn from other places and their experiences. College representatives, developers, builders, local farmers, local landowners, and strip mall owners. Ask them how they see land developing. Again, low income, minorities, and people of color ought to be more involved. Neighborhood associations, students, youth, young families. And we are keeping track, if you noticed on the purple sheets, we're asking for some data about you. And so far it's been kind of, we'll ask Larry and Steve, heavy on the 45 to 65. Is that kind of the sweet spot for, that's my group. Yeah, those are young people. Yeah, kind of light on the youth and on the elderly. So, yeah, we got our work cut out for an age distribution based on the two samples we've taken so far. So so fill out that information because that's important to us as well. If there's nothing else, I just want to say on behalf.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
A series of questions. The answer can be one answer. Did you say the first plan for the city of Columbia was in 1935, and if not, when was the last plan? Not the last plan, when was the first plan? And the question is, did either of those plans involve the roadways in Columbia, specifically I-70 and the 63 connector there, as far as Cloverleaf or something like that?
Well, on the second part of the question about when that emerged, that was probably part of the transportation planning when the I-70 and 63 interchange there was planned. And I don't know which of our major roadway plans to attribute that to, but you would have to go back quite a few years. We've been doing regional transportation planning since the 60s, and no doubt there was a planning document that led to that. But, of course, there's a difference between planning and design. Planning usually points to the need and the general type of facility, and then design gets into the ramp configurations and number of lanes and that sort of thing. In other words, we're not responsible for Clark Lane. That's another profession there. But getting back to your first part of your question, yes, 1935 was the first city plan in what I'd call the era of city planning as we know it, where a plan commission is appointed and develops a plan for the whole city. I think places, though, communities have always planned, but it's just it would have been a different methodology. But in the 19th century, planning was associated more with land surveys and that kind of thing, and there was no zoning, there was no subdivision control, but somehow we got by building coherent cities and things, so it was a more informal process, obviously. But and the city has had plans in the 1960s. There was a major comprehensive plan, major update in the early 70s. There was a 1983 comprehensive plan, and then of course Metro 2020, and a number of special area plans throughout those years. So Columbia's got a pretty decent tradition of doing city planning, I'd say. Thank you for your question. Anybody else with a final word? Going once. We know your time is valuable, and we thank you for making the choice to come out here tonight and give us the benefit of your input. We will record your comments just like these others and keep a continuous archive of what people tell us about this plan. So from me and on behalf of the whole group involved with this, thank you very much. Please leave your sheets with us. Leave the purple sheets with us. Also, would you leave us with your name, and if you do have an email that you don't mind giving us or other contact information, please leave that with us too. We'd like to know everybody who's here. Thanks again.